This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
There are many who claim they have gone to heaven and seen God. Admittedly, the various descriptions may differ from person to person, but that doesn't dismiss this fact. Some are fully convinced they have indeed seen God. Could this be true? Can we really see God? Now, the Bible seems to indicate no man has seen or heard God. Jesus further asserts, no one has gone to heaven except him. So how is it that some claim they have gone to heaven and seen God when the Bible declares otherwise? Now, surprisingly, the Old Testament affirms that the Lord literally visited some of the patriarchs, kings, and prophets of old. Men like Abraham, Moses, Jacob, and David, even Jonah and Ezekiel, all record visitations with the one who affirmed he was the Lord. How can this be when the Bible simply says this is not so? On today's program, Mike James explores what appears to be a clear contradiction within the Bible, when actually, it is nothing more than a misunderstanding about the definition of what God is. Stay with us as we explain this understanding that surrounds this question, can we see God? In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I want to do today is I want to look at some scriptures that talk to us about the nature of God. And I think when you look at this question of the nature of God, it's a very debatable point when you look at various Christian churches and what they think about the nature of God. But rather than deal with theological conceptions and philosophies that people have about God, I think it's important for us to look at Scripture to come to an understanding of what we can learn about the nature of God. I know we will not completely understand the nature of God because we're limited as physical human beings, but let's look at Scripture rather than what people's opinions are about the nature of God when we begin to look at this particular question. Now, we will be addressing this particular question in other episodes of the Armor of God. So I'm going to deal with it from a specific perspective today, and that is the question of, can God be seen? Because when you look at the Bible, you will find scriptures talking about God being visible, and we'll look at a few of those today, yet you will find in Scripture other scriptures that say God cannot be seen or God is invisible. What is it with this conundrum? We're going to look at this question today and see if we can begin to answer it and come up with an understanding on the nature of God and how this can be that God can be seen and yet not be seen. Now, to do that, we're going to be dealing with some scriptures in the Old Testament today. I'll be basically staying in the book of Genesis, and we'll be dealing with the character of Abraham and some encounters that he had with God. So that's where we will be going today. But along the way, we're going to be addressing some other points in relation to this bigger question of the nature of God. Before I do any of that, though, what I'd like to do on today's program is offer you some free literature and also a free full-length sermon CD. Now, you can get both of these items free of charge. All you need to do is call 1-888-578-8791. That's a toll-free call. And what we'd like you to do when you call that number is please order the free booklet titled, Is Jesus Really God? Do you know that there are some large Christian denominations that do not believe that Jesus is God? I believe the Bible states Jesus is God, and this booklet will provide you with the backing from Scripture as to why Jesus is God. Get Is Jesus Really God? We also want to offer you the full-length sermon CD, Who is Jesus Christ? This is a sermon CD that was done by one of our elders, a fellow named Tony Buchert. Please order this CD also, Who is Jesus Christ? To get both of these items, the booklet and the CD, all you need to do is call us toll-free, 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. We can also go to our website to order, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Please go to our website also to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Thanks again for joining us on today's program. We're looking at this question of, can God be seen or is God invisible? Because when you look at scriptures, you will find scriptures that support both of those views, that God cannot be seen and that God can be seen. Now, when you look at this question, the larger question around this is, what is the nature of God? And that's been a debatable point in Christianity for the last 2,000 years. There are Christians that believe God is one singular entity, that God is what some would say unity. A Unitarian concept of God is out there among some Christians. There's also a binity or a binitarian concept of God, that God the Father and God the Son are very God, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God working through the Father and the Son. And then there's a third view that most Christianity holds, which is a Trinitarian view, that God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are personal beings within the oneness of God. So that's the larger question, but we're going to deal with a smaller question that helps us understand that larger question, and that is, can God be seen? There are scriptures that say He can, and others that say He cannot, and we're going to try to deal with that conundrum on today's program. Now, what I'm going to do to deal with it is I'm going to look in the book of Genesis, and we're going to deal with our friend Abraham from the book of Genesis. We're going to find some encounters that Abraham has with God, and we're going to see that it reveals in Scripture that Abraham is able to see God. So let's take a look at this as we begin to look at this question on whether or not God is seen or unseen. I'm in the book of Genesis, specifically, if you have your Bibles handy, I'm in Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 12. Here's what it says. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. Now the key words here are, the Lord appeared unto Abram. We see it twice within this verse, Genesis 12 and verse 7. Now, we don't have any more detailed information in this particular encounter. We aren't given information on exactly what Abram sees, but we do have the Hebrew word here for something that is seen visibly. So, Abram saw something here when it says, the Lord appeared to him. Another important point here is the word Lord here is the tetragrammaton. It's the YHVH. It's the personal name of God. In many places in the Old Testament, when you see that word Lord, the personal name of God that God gave to Moses in Exodus 3:14 is used here. So we're not talking about Lord in a general sense, that this is some high and lofty figure. We're talking about the personal God that Moses had his encounter with. So that's an important point to keep in mind as we go further now And let's look at another encounter that Abraham had with this particular individual. I'm going to turn a few chapters forward, staying in the book of Genesis. There's a lot there in the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 17, I'm going to pick it up here in verse 1 of Genesis 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram. Once again, what is similar about this scripture and the previous scripture is the name being used here, the YHWH, Lord, in the English, we translate it that way. And also the fact that the word appeared is here. And again, that's a Hebrew verb that means to see something. So it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So we get a little more information. We not only have the personal name here, but then he says, I am the Almighty God. Now that is a powerful statement. The Almighty God is the Almighty. That's another title for the one and true God that we read about in the pages of your Bible. Now, the interesting thing, though, is we don't have a description here of what Abram sees. What does he see when God appears to him? Now, I'd like to turn over to another scripture in the book of Genesis, and I'm going to spend a little more time on this particular scripture. This is a very important encounter in the book of Genesis, and it's only one chapter forward here in Genesis chapter 18. Now, I'm going to read you a bit of Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to pick and choose some verses here and there and comment on some of them. But think about what we just read, what we just looked at, those encounters. And now let's see what's different about this encounter that Abraham has with God. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1, here's what it says. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, what's similar here is that title Lord once again. That is the YHWH. That is the title, the true name of God. And now, watch what happens in verse 2. This is now going to be a little bit different from what we read in those previous encounters. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, this word bowed himself toward the ground, this is an act of worship. If you look at the Hebrew here, you will find this Hebrew word used in other places where someone is bowing in obeisance, when someone is bowing in worship to a greater figure. And we had the name of the Lord here in the first verse. Who is Abraham bowing to, ladies and gentlemen? I believe he's having an encounter with God right here. Let's read further. Verse 3, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you read verse 1, 2, and 3 right together, you're only left with this impression that Abraham is now in front of a figure that is claiming to be God. Now, that is an awesome thing when you think about it. Many Jews have a problem with the idea that God became Jesus Christ. They say, how could God become man? How could God walk amongst us? Yet in their very own scriptures, they have Genesis 18. Now, they look at it differently than the way I'm expressing it today. But look at what God is telling us. Let's just take what Scripture is saying rather than coming up with theological conceptions about what this is saying. Let's just read it for what it's saying. And here's what it's saying. That God is dealing with Abraham, and then God appears to him in what seems to be a human form. Now, why do I say that? Let's read further. I'm going to pick it up in verse 4. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, After that you shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Now we're going to have to deal with those other two figures that are with this figure that is the Lord. But notice what Abraham is doing. He's saying, hey guys, wash your feet. This was a common custom among the peoples of that time, that when you went to somebody's house, you would wash your feet because you were moving along in dusty terrain before you got to wherever you were going. So he's trying to appease them in a human sort of way. What else is he doing? He's creating or getting some food for them. And they're going to eat with him, ladies and gentlemen. Now think about that for a moment. These figures, one of them who's telling us he's the Lord, is about to eat a meal with a human being. What are the ramifications of that? Well, I'm not going to get into that right now, but I just want you to be sure you understand the enormity of what is occurring here as we read these scriptures. Now, let's go on a little bit further. Verse 6, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe what your Bible says? Your Bible is telling us right here that the Lord is having a meal with Abraham. Now that is some heady stuff. Let's just read it for what it says. Now let's pick it up. I'm going to pick it up here in verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? I want you to get what just happened here. Abraham and Sarah are old. They're in their old age now. It's not going to happen that Sarah's going to have a child because of her age. And she also laughs internally, not out loud. No one heard her laugh. But she's laughing to think, I'm going to have a kid now at this age? Now watch what happens. If you don't believe this is God, watch what happens. Verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Now get that, folks. Sarah didn't laugh out loud, but this figure that we're calling the Lord tells her, oh yeah, you did laugh. Now the question is, ladies and gentlemen, how did this figure know that Sarah laughed if Sarah did not laugh outwardly? She was laughing in her mind. Is this guy just a mind reader? Folks, you don't believe in mind readers, do you? Come on now. This individual is showing that he is the Lord by knowing what Sarah was thinking, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't believe this is the Lord, ask yourself this question. How was he able to know what was in Sarah's mind? That's something only God can do in my mind, ladies and gentlemen. This is God. This is God who's having a meal with Abraham. I believe that. That is what your Bible is revealing. Are you going to believe that? Something to think about. Now, let's go further in our discussion here, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to look at this interesting question. I'm going to drop down here to verse 22. Notice what happens with these men who were accompanying the Lord. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So Abraham continues to have a conversation with the Lord, But these two figures, these mysterious figures that accompany the Lord, they're going down to Sodom. Who are these two figures? And is there any evidence, if we can discover who they are, that would support our contention that this is the Lord God who is with Abraham? Well, watch this. I'm going to drop down to the end of chapter 18, and I'm going to read verse 33. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So Abraham and the Lord end their conversation. The Lord leaves the scene. And notice what we read in Genesis 19, verse 1, the very next verse. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now this tells us two individuals who are described as angels are now on the scene at Sodom. Do we think these are two new angels who just come on the scene at Sodom? No! You've got to understand the context here. These were the two individuals, the mysterious individuals that were not named, who were with the Lord in the encounter with Abraham. They are now at Sodom, and we have more information about them. They are angels. So once again, the evidence is beginning to build here that who Abraham encounters and eats with and washes his feet with is the Lord God. God is appearing as a man in the Old Testament. That is a profound statement I'm making when you understand what happens in the New Testament. And I'm going to leave it right there right now, and I want to address something else right now. This is a big subject, but I want to go to a piece of the puzzle here in John chapter 8. I'm going to turn over to John chapter 8 with you and bring another piece into this puzzle. In John chapter 8, I'm going to pick it up in verse 56. So let's turn to John chapter 8 and verse 56. And notice Jesus is having an encounter here with some individuals. And prior to Jesus saying what he's about to say, these individuals bring up Abraham in verse 53. They say, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead?" So they bring up Abraham into the conversation. And notice what Jesus says in verse 56. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now get that. Your father Abraham, speaking to these Jews, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, what's he talking about here? Did Abraham see Jesus in some way? Well, I believe he did because of what we just read in Genesis chapter 18. But you will read various biblical commentators who will say, no, maybe that's not what he means here. Here's one example of what they say about this scripture. They say Jesus was probably not referring to any one occasion, but to Abraham's general joy in the fulfilling of the purposes of God in Christ, by which all nations on earth would receive blessing. So Abraham knew that God was going to bless all the nations on the earth at some point, and that blessing was going to come through Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to Genesis 18. We know what we read there, don't we? And notice what Jesus is saying now. But notice what he says further to really bring this point home. Let me pick it up in verse 57. "Then said the Jews unto him." Now get the context here. What did the Jews think when Jesus said this about Abraham? Notice what they said. "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Ladies and gentlemen, the context tells me that these Jews thought he was saying that Abraham had seen him in some way. That's what they thought, and they were there. I'm going to take their opinion rather than some commentator who's thinking theological thoughts that don't mesh with his idea of about God. Now check this out in verse 58. Let's bring it all home. "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Now that is a profound statement for Jesus to make. What is he saying here when he uses this phrase, "I am"? Ladies and gentlemen, that is the name God gave Himself back in Exodus 3:14 when He was having an encounter with Moses. And Moses says, "What's your name?" He says, "I am that I am. That's the name I'm going to give you." And Jesus is taking that name upon Himself. Who did Moses encounter in Exodus 3? Who did Abraham encounter in Genesis 18? The answer is here, ladies and gentlemen, if you accept this answer. Some people do not. Notice what these particular individuals who were there thought about this answer. It's in verse 59. "Then took they up stones to cast at Him. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." The reason they were picking up stones was they believed this was blasphemy, that Jesus was equating Himself with the God of the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen. That is obvious from these scriptures that we've put together today. If you don't want to believe that, that's fine. But let me throw something else at you before I depart today. Turn with me over to John chapter 1 and verse 18 for a moment. John 1 and 18. "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Wow! No one has seen God? Well, didn't they see Jesus? Didn't Abraham have an encounter with the Lord? Didn't Moses have an encounter with the burning bush and the Lord was there speaking to him? What is going on here? Look with me, if you would, at 1 John 4 and verse 12 as a final scripture. 1 John 4 and verse 12. Actually, I don't have time to read that scripture, but there are numerous scriptures like 1 John 4:12, John 5:37, Colossians 1:15, 1 Timothy 6:16, which say God is invisible and cannot be seen, but they also tell us that they're speaking of God the Father, not God the Son. Ladies and gentlemen, please get that free literature. Is Jesus God? Get that free CD. Who is Jesus Christ? Get both of those items at 1-888-578-8791. That's toll free, 1-888-578-8791. On the web, www.cgi.org. Get those things. Learn about God. Bye for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.